Effect. It's a little bit easier, a little less strict in the policy here. And you got a voluntary act of worship, thanksgiving, and fellowship. It included a communal meal, and it included vow offerings and thanksgiving offerings and free will offerings. Just pretty much God just saying thanks to you. Here you go. It's really interesting. Sin offerings, and this one and the next offering, which is trespass offerings, they're going to seem very similar, but I'll tell you the difference in just a second. This is a young bull, male goat, female goat or lamb, dove or pigeon, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour for the very poor. This is the most specific because it dealt more specifically with the person that, you know, was struggling with or that sinned. This was very, very specific. You know, for the male, it was the young bull, and, you know, female, they went through very specific things with everyone, and everyone had to give what they could. And even the poor, it didn't matter if you were dirt poor, you still had to give something. And so God kind of threw you a bone and said, hey, give me 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, which is very specific even still. Even though you don't have much, I want this specific offering. I think that's really interesting. Mandatory atonement for specific unintentional sins, confession of sin, forgiveness of sin, cleansing from defilement. Even if you didn't mean to, even if you accidentally sinned, it didn't matter, unintentional or not. You gotta give that offering. This next one, this is where they differ. Trespass offerings, they're not just between you and God. They are also with other people involved. And this was a ram. This is a mandatory atonement for unintentional sin requiring restitution. Restitution means, I had to look this up actually in studying, it means to bring back to someone or to kind of make amends, as it were. And so God wanted you to make amends with people, and through this and through you giving, because you sin not only against God, but you sin to other people too. And so he says, listen, you give me your percentage of the deal. You also, though, it's cleansing from defilement, make restitution, and you also had to pay a 20% fine to the person you wronged to make amends with them too. So, man, you were giving offerings after offerings after offerings after offerings. I'm surprised they had any lambs around, you know, or anything. At that day and age, man, I'm surprised. They were either really good or didn't offer that much, or else you just didn't have any livestock around, because I know amongst this room, we sent enough in this room to kill a whole farm, you know? Anyway, and so I'm thinking, and, you know, they have such specific things. They have such specific things, specific requirements that God gave them, just so finite details. And even, I'm reading along, and even the priests at this time, who are the ones in charge of putting these things on the altar and divvying out the different portions and stuff, because it's not just a ram. I mean, it's different parts of the ram for different things, just very, very specific things. And even these priests, they had to wear linen clothes, had to wear linen undergarments underneath those linen clothes. And then, this is just, after the offering is all done, the ashes are there, this is what they wore to clean the ashes off of the altar. So they had to clean these ashes with linen on, and they would place the ashes right next to the altar. And then after that, they would have to go change to different linens, come back, pick up the, you know, ashes from the altar, from beside the altar, and take them outside into the specific place designated for after-altar burning ashes. So specific. It's so, so demanding of our time, of everything we have. And man, we have it good. That's the reason I put all this up here is we have it so easy, and yet it's hard for us to give simple sacrifices to God. Simple things. Little stuff. The things that aren't that hard, that shouldn't be that hard. These people had to go through huge bounds, and they had the leaps and bounds just to give a little bit to God. And we've got it so easy. We could say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And it's forgiven just like that. And man, just to see how blessed we are in that, just to realize how blessed we are as a people, as a church nowadays, capital C church, everyone that is a Christian, we have it so easy. So I just wanted to start off with that to realize how blessed we are. Now we're going to get into a little more fun stuff that pertains a little bit more to us today. Sacrifice of praise. I chose this picture of this little kid because I don't know if you guys are the same way as I am, but seeing a little child worship is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. To see a kid just jumping around for Jesus and, because they don't have any inhibitions. They don't even know why they're praising God a lot of the times, but they're doing it. They're seeing us do it, and they're like, and they're running around like crazy people just all over the place. Liam is one of my favorite people to watch worship because he is nuts. He just goes all out, and he's a little 3-year-old boy, and he'll stand next to you and look at you, and if I'm going like this, he's going to go like this, and he's going to do it more and higher than I am because he kind of likes to one-up too. I feel that way at least. Hey man, come on now, this is me. I'm just kidding. But he loves to worship, and you can see that all over him. He loves to worship and praise, and he doesn't even really have the reason why. And I feel like the older we get, I feel like at one point we were all that way, where we didn't care who was watching, we didn't care who was looking at us, we just went nuts. Didn't matter if we had a reason or not. And I feel like the more reason we get, the less freedom of worship we have. And the less, the more care we have about what other people are seeing us do. And man, this is a little hard for me to do. This is a little hard for me to worship right now. This is kind of an uncomfortable situation. Is that really what God's calling you to be? Let me tell you, if you don't like the music up here, who cares? Is it about you or is it about God? If you don't like the way we do things here, is it about you or is it about God? Correct, James. It is about God. Thank you. I appreciate that. I love feedback. I've been looking forward to preaching to the night crowd all week because you guys are like the ones that are most vocal and the craziest. And I mean that in a good way, not crazy, like nuts. And I'm a crazy person myself, so I fit in more with this crowd than anybody else. Exactly. So let's get into it. Oh, Lord, I am indeed your servant. I am your servant. I'm the son of your female servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will bring a song of thanksgiving to you as a sacrifice. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will keep my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, the church, in the courtyards of the Lord's house, the church building, and in the middle of Jerusalem. I don't care where I'm at, God. I'm going to give you a thanks. I'm going to thank you for freeing me from my chains. I don't care if you have chains now. At one point, God has freed you from chains. You might have more chains on now, but if you're focused on them and not focused on the chains that God has freed you from, there went your victory. You can lose victory real quick by focusing on your problems now and not focusing on, man, God, I'm blessed. You keep on freeing me from these chains. And let me tell you, the more you focus on the chains he's freed you from, the more he's going to free you from the chains you've got now. And that's Psalms 116, 16 through 19. David had it pegged, man. Let's read, we're going to flip to Hebrews 13, 15. If you got your Bibles, flip there with me real fast. Get again to this. I noticed as I was making this slide, you know, you try to do cool effects to bring out the words and stuff. I noticed that I darked it out so that the white words would come out more full and stuff. And it's funny because it made this kid, like, look at his features. They're kind of blacked out. He went from like, yeah, God, to like, yeah, God, you know. It's just funny to me because he kind of looks like a snowman at this point. He's got like black holes for eyes, you know. I just thought that was funny in the midst of making this. You know, I'm trying to do these cool effects and stuff, and I realized one day, I was like, you know what, that's kind of funny. Anyway, that's maybe my crazy mind talking. Let's get into this. It's Hebrews 13, 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, focus on that word continually, offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Not a praise that's easy to give. This is a sacrifice. Sacrifices aren't easy. They wouldn't be called sacrifices if they were easy. The fruit of the lips. Look how beautiful that is. The fruit of the lips that confess his name. Man, how beautiful imagery. There's beautiful imagery all throughout the Bible, and I just love that. The fruit of my lips that confess your name, God. And I want to continually offer that to you. Continually offer the fruit of my lips. It says we should continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. There's a verse that says pray without ceasing. There's an emphasis on the Bible about don't stop. Never cease. Because God never ceases to love on you. Why cease to love on him? Not just on Sunday. This is important because in the Bible Belt, this is really easy to do, just to come in on Sunday and in life group, like with Dave or any of the life groups that go on. It's easy to worship them. But even when things aren't great, God calls us to worship him. Even when things are going rough. There's a death in your family. There's your car broke down. You can't afford your bills, blah, blah, blah. There's so many things in this life that we care more about than we care about praising God. And God's saying, listen, I'll take care of that stuff if you just worship me. If you just praise me and thank me for the things I've blessed you with, I'll take care of the little stuff. Psalms 150, Ovation is awesome. I have my plug in here. I love Ovation, and so I'm going to plug in there. Caleb's excited. On the front row, I love it. The reason why me and Corey sat down in Panera Bread and we were like, you know, what should we name our youth group? Let's think about this. Let's think about other youth groups. And we're analyzing and we're looking at all these names that have been created. And you see things like the well and the cave and the shaft and the blah, blah, blah. It's all these dark places, really dim, like, you know, it's the refuge. And like, you know, all these things that you put like dark connotations to. If anybody's in here with a youth group of any of those names, I'm sorry. but we and Corey were specifically, we're saying, what is something pretty, something light, something that is happy? Not something, a dark place or anything like that. Let's think of something that's happy. But not only that, but I want to honor God in this name. I want to emphasize that we want to praise God. So we started looking up, you know, pulling out our thesauruses and things of that nature. We come up with Ovation. Think about every time you've given an ovation, like standing ovation, something, let's say a speaker speaking, like what you guys are going to do to me after I'm done. You know, just kidding. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. It'd make me feel really awkward. But a standing ovation, that's showing, it's not just praise. It's not just the admiration. It's honor. It's respect. Man, we went to Catalyst, the conference, you know, of a bunch of church leaders and things of this nature. And there were some speakers that people were just like, I liked him. Yeah. You know, and they went nuts and they stood up and they cheered and chanted because they showed respect and like, you've done such great things. What you spoke was exactly what I needed to hear. And thank you. And we need to give God that same kind of praise. Not just a thanks. God, I appreciate that. You know, standing ovation. Yes. God, thank you. I respect you. I honor you for giving me so much. We're so blessed. No matter what happens in life, realize you are blessed. We all have plenty to thank for God. Let's read Psalms 150 real quick. It's beautiful, beautiful scripture. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. This hits me hard because I'm a drummer. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Dave knows what I'm talking about. David Fannin. He got up there tonight and he's like, yeah, God, yeah. You know, and he's nailing that cymbal, saying, thanks, God, yeah. You can praise through drumming. Where you can also take out a lot of stress, too. It's twofold. It's pretty awesome. It's a great instrument to learn. If you don't have an instrument, learn that one. It's fun. You can say, yeah, God, today was horrible, but I love you anyway. You know, and you get to praise God just hitting the cymbal. Thanks, God. Thank you for everything you do for me. There's sometimes I wish I had a drum set in front of me because I can't wave my arms like this in the middle of a congregation and it'd be socially acceptable. I probably will hit someone. But man, it's so freeing. Let everything, focus here, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So it's saying here that, I mean, some people are down in their luck. Some people are poor. I know I am. You know, I don't have a lot. You know, some things I wish I had more of. In some ways, I'm not the most blessed person in the world. I have a very blessed life. But let me tell you, if you have nothing else, you have breath. And you got God. James said it. You've got breath and you got God. But specifically, you have breath. I mean, you're not dead. You got something to thank God for, right? There's sometimes when you're like, man, I don't even know what I have to be thankful for. You've got breath. You can thank God for that. And let me tell you, we're going to get into this a little bit further. Sacrifice your time. This is something that hits me hard because this is something I struggle with probably the most out of all of this. I feel like I have the authority from God to talk to you guys about all this because let me tell you, we all struggle with it. Every one of us can struggle with some part of sacrifice in our lives. I don't know anyone that sacrifices everything for God. I don't know anyone except for Jesus. He's the only person that had that dead on. So if we're trying to be like him, we're trying to be like this. One of them is sacrificing your time. And this is something that God's been dealing with me a lot lately, specifically this. And so, man, this is something I'm really passionate about, sacrificing your time. So then, be very careful how you live. Don't live like foolish people, but like wise people. I want you to notice the transition between this slide and the next, how this sign of verses is more about yourself and what you should do. And then the next, it turns the focus onto God, which is where our focus should be. But look at this. I'll read it again. So then, be careful how you live. Don't live like foolish people, but like wise people. Make the most of your opportunities because these are evil days. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord wants. Here it's giving an example of a worldly thing. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wild living. That's just one of the examples. It could have gone on with 50,000 verses on this, but it just uses this one. Don't think worldly. Don't focus on worldly things like getting drunk on wine. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't focus on being filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Look at this next verse. By reciting psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for your own good. Interesting, right? If you notice, I don't know if you've ever tried this. Try this sometime. If you're ever feeling horrible, things are going horrible. Your life is stinky. The day has been horrible. It's a Monday. Your boss put a lot on your plate. Things are going real bad. Praise God. See how your mood changes. Because, man, let me tell you, as soon as you turn your focus, God, I'm not going to worry about the things going on in my life. I'm going to use this time to worry about you and think about you. Because it's for your own good. Because God will change your mindset just like that. So beautiful. Sing and make music to the Lord with your hearts. We sang a song about that tonight. Worshiping with our heart, not just words. Let the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. So if you're saying words and they don't mean anything to you, then you just stop. God wants us to worship with our hearts. Always thank God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful. Beautiful scripture. God calls us to focus and do things that are going to build up his kingdom, not worldly things, not things for ourselves, but we need to focus on things that are of him. Let's flip to Philippians 4:8 real fast. It's beautiful. A lot of you know this. It's very well known amongst Christians, very well known. It's beautiful. But we're going to focus specifically on the last part. We're going to read the whole thing, but think about the last part here. Philippians 4:8. All right, here we go. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, here it is, think about such things. Don't think about other things. Man, I have so many groups of friends that are, they'll watch the news and they're so current on the news. And I don't know if you notice this, but people like to focus on bad stuff. If you notice the news, the reason the news is popular is because they know who the audience they're catered to. They don't have a lot of really pretty stuff on the news. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. But they talk about a lot about the bad, and people watch the news, and that's all they'll talk about. Did you see, dadgum, what happened in Clarksville today, blah, 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 blah. And they'll talk 30 minutes and dwell and focus and pick apart all this horrible news, things that are not of good report. God's saying, listen, things are going to happen that are bad. I'm not saying to avoid them. You should be knowledgeable. Watch the news. I'm not saying don't watch the news ever again. You can watch the news. Know, be current, be relevant in society, but man, don't focus on it. Don't let that bog you down. Don't let that weigh you down. Focus on things that are beautiful, that are of good report, things that God would have you to focus on. And it's really for you. God's saying, man, quit making yourself miserable. Focus on all the junk that's in the world. Yeah, we're in evil days right now. Big whoop. You've got so much to be thankful for. Our time in this life is so short when thinking about eternity. There's a speaker that was at Catalyst when we went to this conference. His name's Francis Chan. He has this beautiful, a lot of you know him. He's a pastor of a huge church. He's done a lot of great things, read a lot of good books, all these things. He's got this beautiful illustration. If you want to YouTube something later, beautiful illustration. And he talks about this rope, got this huge rope. He can afford it. He's a mega church pastor. I couldn't afford a huge rope, but I would have. But he's got this huge rope. It spans, he's got a huge church, and it's like all the way down there, just this long, endless rope, it seems. He says, guys, I could make this rope a lot bigger if I wanted. This rope could be infinite that way. And he has this little corner that he's holding one end, it's a little piece right here, and it's red. Little piece, about this big, huge rope, little piece. And he says, wiggle the cord a little bit. This is our life on earth. He says, God wants us to focus on him right here. Right here. And we will inherit this. The rest of the rope. Awesome. Huge chunk of rope. Not only is that rope awesome and bigger than what we're giving to God, but it's carefree. It's filled with joy. There's no complaints. There's no worries. There's no stresses. There's nothing wrong in this life. He's really, really ready to just give you this huge chunk of rope. But we have a hard time giving him this little chunk. Man, that hit me hard when I was thinking about this lesson, when I came to this point. Man, if I just focus, it should be the other way around, really. It should, really, God doesn't owe us anything. It should be the other way around, if anything. But no, God is so merciful. We should have to give him this huge chunk, and he should just give us maybe a couple minutes of joy and happiness. But man, he just wants this little bit, us to focus for this little bit. And he promises, there you go. You get the rest. And it's way better than this little chunk. I want the junky part. You guys get the good stuff, and it's way bigger than the junky part. Man, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. We're so blessed. The more we go into this, the more blessed it seems. Focus your time on what, man, what is relevant to God, not what's relevant to the world. Think on God. For this little span, think about God all the time. Think about God. We need to constantly live as a sacrifice. That's what God calls us to be. Use the gifts and positions that God has given you only for things that uplift his name and bring him glory. Use your time wisely. Use your time wisely. I don't know what better way I can phrase that. Frodo. Right? Yeah? Frodo. If you guys don't know, this is from Lord of the Rings, and shame on you for not knowing. And if you don't like Lord of the Rings, we'll pray with you afterward. We'll get you saved, I promise. Now, maybe Frodo might have a special place in my life because he's known as a hobbit, and he's short and he has hairy feet like I do. So maybe he has a special place in my life because of that. But still, God kind of brought him to my attention, because if you think about it, what does he have in his hand? He's got this ring. If you've ever seen Lord of the ring is a source of power, absolute power. Pretty much makes or breaks the world. If he completes his mission, destroys this ring, then they'll be good. if he doesn't complete his mission and it falls into the wrong hands, done. So he holds in the weight, in this little bitty ring, he holds the fate of the world in his hands, the fate of the world. And his job, they're looking for volunteers pretty much at this point. They're like, well, I couldn't do it. And everybody's kind of doubting themselves. And Frodo, this short little hobbit, says, I'll do it. Bam. Score one for the short guys. You know? He says, I'll do it. Listen, I don't care what I have to do. My life from this point forward is devoted to this cause. I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I get arrested 30,000 times. I don't care if I have to whine the whole way there, because he did. It got really annoying at some points. And believe you me, we do the same thing, if not worse, than Frodo did. So if you ever get annoyed at Frodo, look at yourself. But man, listen, this guy devoted his life from that point forward. I'm going to complete this goal, and I'm going to save the world. I don't care what it takes. He had a couple pieces of Latmus bread and his bro, and that's it. He didn't bring it. He didn't have a frilly life. He didn't live in a bunch of comfort. His life was miserable for the next little bit. So we're going to talk about right now sacrifice of self. Sacrificing yourself. Man, think about the life of Jesus. Better than Frodo. Think about the life of Jesus. He never did anything that wasn't completely for his Father's kingdom. From birth to death, he was a sacrifice. We come out of the womb screaming and crying and being selfish all over the place. From the minute Jesus was born, he was a sacrifice. He knew it. From the minute he was born, I know I'm going to be sacrificed one day. I'm supposed to die. That's the reason I'm here, is to die. Man, we've got it good. God doesn't want us to, man, blows my mind how good we have it. Because Jesus got born into the world as a sacrifice his whole life. Not only that, but he had to live sinless. Because he was for us. He's a replacement for us. So he had to live sinless, not do anything for himself, but do everything for God's kingdom. And then he had to die on top of that. His whole life was a sacrifice for God. And we're supposed to emulate him? How much do our lives look like that? Honestly. What moment, what time have you ever woken up in the morning and say, man, I wonder what I can sacrifice today? Honestly, don't think many people wake up that way. A lot of people wake up like, ugh, I need coffee. You know what I mean? Honestly, think about this. Wake up and think, what can I sacrifice? What can I give of myself today? It's the way Jesus lived. We're supposed to be like him, right? Take advantage of every situation that God has put you in. Work, school, sports, recreation, any position, etc. Anything you're in, take advantage of that. You've got, God has put you somewhere, and you can glorify his name doing it. Whatever you're doing. At work, if you're grumpy, if you're a horrible person, then I'm sorry, you're not being a good witness. I don't care how much you talk about Jesus, if you're like, man, God is great. He's really good. He's affected me greatly. Man, what a great guy God is. People are going to be like, yeah, I want what he's got, right? No, not at all. Use your position wisely. Be happy. Be a hard worker. Reflect Jesus in your workplace, in your school. I was a horrible student when I was in high school. I did not reflect Jesus the way I need to, but man, God's taught me a lot from that point. I reflect God in my workplace. I try to do the best of my ability. Anyway, let your will, think about this. I've prayed this prayer, and a lot of us, I'd say 99% of us in here, have prayed this prayer and didn't mean it fully. God, let your will be done for my life as long as it doesn't interfere with my will. Let your will be done, you know? I've got a plan. I wanted to be a massage therapist, guys. A massage therapist. I went from massage therapist to youth pastor in a year. How weird of a transition is that? I told a youth that one time, and they're like, hey, yeah, give me a massage. I'm like, I will never, ever massage a youth. Stop. Stop that. No, not even for money, Caleb. No. No. But man, that's what I thought. That's what God wants me to be, right? That pays well. Yeah, money. Even the funny thing is I knew before that God wanted me to be involved in youth, but I made it fit my identity, myself. So I thought, okay, since I'm not very diligent, since I don't plan very well, and I'm not, you know, super responsible, I'm not a youth pastor. God wouldn't want me to be a youth pastor. I couldn't change myself for that calling. So what I am, I'm a youth leader. I'm going to be a leader in youth. I'm going to help out the youth pastor. He's going to be responsible. I'm just going to help him out, right? Yeah, that's what God wants me to be, as a youth leader. That's it. Because I can't change myself for God's calling. No, that wouldn't fit me. A lot of the ways we worship and a lot of the ways we give God our lives, you notice the people that are quiet worshipers are because they're quiet people. The people that are loud worshipers, this guy, it's because I'm a loud person. If any of you know me, you'll be like, yeah. I'm a loud person. I don't have a problem waving my hands, acting a fool. I don't have a problem with that. Yes. But the thing is that's funny to me, is that sometimes God calls me to be quiet. Be still and know. Be still. Randy, stop. This isn't a sacrifice right now. Sometimes I'll jump around, you know, when the songs are going and the presence of God is here, and we're like, yeah, God, yeah. And I'm the first one to be like, you know, and I'll go nuts for Jesus. And sometimes God's like, is that really a sacrifice? Because I feel like that's comfortable for you nowadays. You've gotten to where you're comfortable in that area, right? Some of you are that way. You're comfortable now being the charismatic guy. You're that guy. And God's saying, listen, is that really a sacrifice of praise right now? Randy, are you really sacrificing yourself for me? Are you doing what's comfortable for you? Are you praising the way that Randy wants to praise, not the way God wants you to praise? Sometimes he just calls me to be like, still. Sit there. Stop, Randy, stop. Sit there. Listen to everyone around you. Worship louder than you. And sit there and listen to me and hear my presence and feel my presence. And let me tell you, whenever I shut up and do things God's way, man, does he rock me. Man, does he show up. And I can feel the Spirit of God so much more when I'm out of my comfort zone, when I'm sacrificing myself for God, changing my identity. I'm not the loud, crazy guy right now. I'm the quiet guy, which is not me. But I'm going to do this for you, God. Immediately, he gives back to me. Immediately. Because I'm sacrificing myself, he can sacrifice for me. A lot of people are not going to tell you from an altar, hey, guys, worship less. Be a less crazy worshiper. Stop worshiping so hard. I'm not saying worship less. I'm saying sometimes you might need to be quiet. Sometimes you might need to be loud. Sometimes you might need to get on your knees. Sometimes you might need to jump. Respond to God's calling. Respond to God. Romans 12, 1 through 21. If you want to flip that with me real fast, I'm going to read the first two verses. If you want to read a beautiful chunk of scripture on how to sacrifice, read the rest. It would take me a long time to read all of it. So I was going to save you guys, and I'm just going to read the first couple verses. Because they're huge. They're just, man, they're big. He opens up with a bang here in chapter 12. All right, here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. If you come in here on Sundays and worship God like, yeah, God, and you don't live the rest of the week, what is God going to think? Stop. This doesn't mean anything to me. You're not a living sacrifice. You're a sacrifice on Sunday. That's all you are. You're not a living sacrifice. That hit me hard. Every day, every minute, every hour, I'm a living sacrifice. That makes my praising here more valid. That makes it worthy of God. Some of my praises over time has not been worthy of God because I don't live it. I don't live that praise I'm giving God. But anyway, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you will sacrifice yourself, get over yourself. Stop. Think about what God wants. This is big. Sacrificing of money and possessions. Corey has a harder time talking about this than I do because the money affects him a little bit more than it does me. I'm just the lowly youth pastor on the totem pole. So, but we're going to focus more on possessions. But, you know, I don't have as much of a problem talking about this. I feel like I'm pretty okay to talk about this because this is straight from the Bible right here. The rich young ruler. Flip to Matthew 19, 16 through 26. I think it's funny with this picture. He's holding $300 bills. What kid that you know that's like five or six, I guess, how old is he is? It's like, I wonder what I'm going to do with this $300 bills. If I had $300, my bill, my allowance was like, what, two? I don't, my parents might remember. They're here tonight. I love my parents. But they're here tonight. But I think I got like $2 maybe a week or something like that for allowance. So holding $300 is like, oh, this is like 10 years. I would go nuts. And this kid's like, oh. I just think that's funny. He's like, I wonder what I can invest in. I wonder what the stocks are looking like right now. Anyway, Rich Young Ruler, 19, 16 through 26. Let's jump into this with me real quick. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? What do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. That's funny. If you want to enter eternal or enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, cool. All these I've kept. The guy thinks he's got it going on, the young ruler. All these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, perfect. He's offering this man, hey, listen, you could be you're pretty close to perfect. If you want to be perfect, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Simple, right? Okay, cool. Just follow Jesus, God in flesh. Yeah, sure, I'll follow Jesus, God in flesh. Yeah, no problem. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Oh, man. What an idiot, you know? That's what we think, right? Stupid. You're looking at Jesus, you tell him no? Stupid. And then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Actually, somebody told me today, after the 11 o'clock service, a couple approached me and they said, hey, do you know what the eye of the needle is that's referring to here? We think, you know, a sewing needle, right? Very interesting that they told me the eye of a needle is a part of the wall in Jerusalem. Small part. It's like the girl who told me, she said it's like fat man squeeze, which apparently is something I didn't know. I've never heard of that. But apparently it's a small chunk of wall, right? That it's hard for a big guy to get through. It's really hard to get through. It's a really small part, right? And it's saying it's easier to get a camel through there. You could get a camel through there, but you have to like make him like hunch down. You take everything off the camel. You strip him of everything he's got and kind of nudge him as he's crawling on the ground. All this horrible, you have to go through a lot to get there. Because it's important to look at this because we think, okay, a camel through the eye of a needle. We can't be rich because that's impossible. It's not what God's saying here. He's saying it is very difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. He's got to strip himself of everything he's got. He's got to crawl through the trenches. He's got to humble himself to make it. That's important because I've always read this thing thinking, well, I can't be rich then because I won't be able to seek God if I'm rich. You know, that's kind of what we think because I have a needle. It's tiny. A camel's huge. Bing, bing. I mean, what is that? But no, it's possible. It's just real hard. So if it's just saying if you're rich, if you're worried about your possessions all the time, strip yourself of that. You can get there, just tougher. Get there. I just thought that was interesting. They told me that today. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Thank you for that. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. You can't save yourself, but with God, all things are possible, right? Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will be there for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And when I was a little kid, I used to use this phrase to be like, hey, I'm the last one in line. I got here later than everybody else. I should be first. First shall be last, last shall be first. You guys that are in the front, get the back. You're behind me. I'm in the front, right? It's a joke. Obviously we're taking it the wrong way, right? But here's what God's saying. He's saying, listen, If you humble yourself and consider yourself last, give of yourself. I will make you first if you consider yourself last. Beautiful. Because God's got you in mind if you just have him in mind. Let's break this down a little bit. Ask yourself if your possessions are worth more than God's kingdom. Think about it. There's probably one thing that you hold with very high regard. And if God asked you to give it up, would you? Would you? Would you drop your family, your lifestyle, your job, you've got a really cushy job, let's say. Would you be willing to give that up and just run to God? Would you? It's huge. Are you willing to look God in the eye and deny him a part of your life? Are you willing to say, God, listen, I love you and all. Like the rich young ruler, I've done everything else for you, but this one thing, it's not going to cut it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to walk away. God's not asking for most of you. He's asking for all of you, every bit. If you could, this is huge. It could even be an emotional possession, i.e. forgiveness, submitting to authority, anxieties, depression. It's funny to me, and I've talked to a lot of people about this lately. There's comfort sometimes in depression and anxieties because you make that's my image, right? That's what God's made me. That's the kind of person that God made me to be. God made you to be depressed. That sounds like a loving God, right? He made you to be a depressed person, right? That should be your identity, right? Absolutely not. God didn't make you that way. Things in this life, instances that have happened. Listen, some of you have every reason to be depressed. A lot more reason than I do. I used to be depressed at some point. Things were going rough. I was kind of a nerd, if you can believe that. When I was 12, I was a nerd. Exactly. When I was 12, I was a bit of a nerd, going through my chubby phase. Oh, yeah, I was good looking. I was plumpy cheeks. I was a ladies man when I was 12, let me tell you. My voice was cracking. Oh, yeah, it was good stuff. I got a little depressed. I was like, man, God, no girl likes me. I'm a nerd. Everybody thinks I'm stupid. White boy problems, you know. Rich, you know, I'm not rich, but, you know, these are things that are stupid. But, I mean, some of you have really, really significant death in the family. Things have been going really rough at work. You lost your job. You have no money. I can attest to that. I don't have any money. But God's not calling you to take that on as your identity. Some people get comfort in that. They're like, God, listen, this sadness that I've got, this is part of me now. This is my comfort zone. I would be weird being joyful all the time. That sounds weird. I know you're offering me that, God, but that's not me. I'm not a happy-go-lucky crazy person. I'm a depressed guy. I'm kind of solemn to myself and reserved. That's me. That's my identity. God's saying, listen, I'm not calling you to be worried about everything. Read Matthew 6, one of my favorite chunks of scripture, specifically 25 through 34, to the end of the chapter. It's beautiful. It says, don't worry. Stop. Very humbling. I have to read it like one time a week. As much as I think I've got it nailed, I'm a carefree person. I'm not anxious. I don't worry about much. Sometimes I'll be like, man, God, I don't have any money. How am I going to work? How am I going to pay these bills? And God's like, Randy, come on, Matthew 6, go. I'm like, okay, shoot. You know, because I forget. It's very easy to turn back to our old ways of being anxious, being worried, being depressed, being uncomfortable. It's very easy to go back to that. But God's saying, listen, that's not my image. Is that the way Jesus was? Was God wallowing in self-pity all the time? Jesus? Was he sitting here like, woe is me, I have to die for everybody. Oh. Honestly, think. What would Jesus do? We wear bracelets about it. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus be a depressed person at the workplace? Would he say, that's my identity? That's the way God wants me to be. He doesn't want me to be joyful. He wants me to be depressed, right? Absolutely not, James. I love James. He's right in it. He's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Randy. No, but honestly, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you've taken that as your identity, and that's you. That's what makes you you. Right? Depressed. You're depressed. You're sad. Hey, everybody, comfort me. This is what makes me me. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm a sad guy. I could very well be sad. I could choose to be sad if I wanted, but I'm not. I'm going to be happy because I have the joy of the Lord inside me. I'm going to let that show. You better believe I'm not going to let one little thing that happens in my life affect the fact that everyone that walks through the door and sees my face is going to see the joy of the Lord. That's my mission. That's my goal. I've had a person, crazy circumstance. A person told me one time, a person I worked with, this isn't to glorify me. This is just crazy. It blows my mind because I didn't do anything. This is all God. I'm a happy person. Everybody at work one day was just sad. I had talked to this guy previously. He said he was a worship leader at his old church, and I told him I was doing youth at my church, and he was like, oh, that's awesome, man. That's cool. And I knew that he wasn't living right. I knew that he'd kind of lost focus along the way. And he knew it, but I didn't convict him of that. I was like, man, you need to stop. Stop it. I didn't bark at him. But I'll tell you what I did do. I tried to be as good of an example for God as I could. And I was happy. There was one specific day where everything was going wrong. Everybody was like, our work stinks. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm like, you know what? I've got a job. Woohoo! You know, I'm skipping, looking like an idiot. You know, everybody's sitting there like, why is Randy so happy? And he had the boldness, this guy. He's like, Randy, why are you so happy right now? And I looked him in the eye and said, you know exactly why. And I left. Walked away. Didn't say anything else. I said, you know why? Bing! I walked out the door because I was a delivery boy and I was like running everywhere because anyway. But I walked away. Didn't say anything else. Didn't need to. A few months later, he comes up to me. He goes, hey, Randy, you're my testimony. I know he's been living better and stuff. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? We haven't even really talked about God. What are you talking about? He says, you remember that one day, and it took me a while to remember it. He said, one day everything was going horrible at work. You were the only person that was happy in that room. And I asked you, why in the world are you happy? I want what that guy has. And I told him, you know exactly why. And he goes, immediately the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I needed to start reconciling to God. And I was like, are you serious? All I did was smile, and God used that? I didn't do anything. All I did was be happy. You're welcome, God, for being happy. Like, it's kind of funny how that works, isn't it? If we give God our depression, our anxieties, start forgiving people that have wronged us, sacrificing ourselves and forgiving and letting go of depression and things that make us unhappy, if we get happier, God will honor that? Sounds like a win-win to me, right? I was happy. I was the only person happy at the workplace. God used that to affect lives. So it's like, man, what's holding us back from just releasing all this junk to God? Because he wants us to. He's told us, give me your heavy burdens. My yoke is light. I'm going to sacrifice depression to you, God, because I know it's comfortable for me. But instead, I'll trade you joy. It's an unfair trade, right? But God's willing to give it to us. Don't worry about your worldly possessions, like Francis Chan was talking about. This is it. Worldly possessions are here. Eternal possessions are there. You really going to choose the red part instead of the whole rope? I'm sorry. That's a really dumb decision. God's sitting here saying, listen, are you really going to choose worldly possessions over me? The worldly possessions are going to last this long. What I have for you is going to last to there, way down, the rest of your eternity. Man, I'm going to close right now. If the band will start coming up. This is something, I'm going to step off my comfy stool here. This is my comfort stool. So I feel comfortable talking on it. Something that God's asking all of us. You know, a lot of times we'll sit here in a service like this and we'll say, you know, Betty over there, she really needs to hear this one. She's horrible at this. I dare say that everyone in here has something that they can sacrifice to God more. It's very easy. We're in the Bible Belt, and that's kind of a thing, like, bless her heart. She needs to hear this one, doesn't she? Betty struggles with sacrifice. Not me. No. Not me. I'm great. But Betty, I'm glad she's here tonight. Bless her heart. She's probably about to cry. She needs to hear this. God's calling us all to sacrifice more. Every one of us in this room. To sacrifice more, to constantly give more and more to him. To live our lives for him, not ourselves. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. What are you holding back from God? We're about to get a time of, you know, any altar and prayer and things of that nature. Think real well about what you're holding back from God. Because I guarantee you, God's just sitting here waiting for you and saying, man, I wish he'd sacrifice to that. I wish he'd sacrifice that because I'm ready to, bam, bless him. I'm ready. I'm ready to replace what he's about to sacrifice with something way better. He's sitting there waiting for you. And all you have to do is, okay, fine. Boom, there he is, ready to give it. What are you holding back from God? He's not holding anything back from you. He's waiting to give it to you. This is kind of a funny little bit. Don't be like the rich young ruler. Be like Frodo. I'm not saying in stature. I don't want everybody to shrink, even though that would make me feel a lot better about myself. But be like Frodo. Live a life that's a sacrifice for a cause, for Jesus. Treat it like this is going to make or break the world. That's what Frodo thought about that ring. This is the hope of the world in my hands. You've got that inside you if you're a Christian. If you've got God inside you, you have the hope of the world. It's your job, it's your mission to sacrifice your life and make sure that you save the world with what you have. Even better, be like Jesus. Jesus lived his life as a sacrifice. The whole kit and caboodle. Frodo got to think about himself a little bit. For the most part, you know, he sacrificed. But Jesus, it wasn't about him ever. It was never about him. It was about God and what God wanted him to do and what was going to affect the kingdom. That's all he cared about. Corey asked me, he's like, hey, Randy, you know that you have to talk, you know, bring up communion? And I was like, it's kind of funny. I didn't think about that, but this whole message is kind of about communion. What do we do when we take communion? We think about God's sacrifice for us. We think about when he bled and he was bruised and he got beaten up for us, for our sins, so that it would make it this easy. It would make everything this easy to do. God calls us for that. And so I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I was like, man, all I have to do is think about, I think all that we have to do tonight is say, I want to sacrifice like you, God. As you're taking communion, think about what you're holding back from God and reconcile with him. And say, listen, God, I know I haven't given you this. This is comfortable for me. And I know you've been asking me to kind of stretch myself and to get out of this comfort zone, and it's hard. I haven't given you this. So when you think about Jesus laying down his life, which is a lot harder than what he's asking you to do, think about the fact that there's something that you can sacrifice more. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. I'm humbled to talk about what you've given me, Lord. I'm humbled to talk about the things that you would have me talk about, Lord. I pray that your words were spoken through me, not my own, God, and I pray that hearts were affected. God, I pray that you would humble everyone in this room, though, and help us to all sacrifice, to give of ourselves more and freely, to think about and to dwell on what we can give more to you. At all times, not most of the time, not some of the time, but what we can give more. Because we know that we are holding back from what you can bless us with because we are unwilling to sacrifice ourselves. What you have for us is way better than what we have for ourselves, God. But we're unwilling to give you this little tiny stupid plan and exchange it for a glorious plan that you have for us. Lord, I pray that we would all get to a new level of sacrifice. I pray that you would just teach us how to sacrifice tonight, Lord, how to give everything, and help us to always remember the true sacrifice that you gave when you gave Jesus to us, and help us to always remember Jesus and how he lived his life as a sacrifice for us. We love you and we thank you for your sacrifice, God. Help us to honor you more with ours. Guys, there's communion. They're going to play some music, and there's communion on either side over here, and just spend some time with God and reconcile. To see you, I love.
Jesus.